We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, 10:26 as we roll on. Shane and Bruce with you today, as we will be tomorrow to finish off the week on a Friday. A lot of college basketball to get to. Obviously, tomorrow with the American and Big 12 tournaments going on. The storylines will be interesting to roll out. Eric has taken time to call us at 869-1240 on the Sports Daily Hotline. Eric, how are you this morning, man?
Morning, guys. Hey, I've got a kind of a mystery that my son and I followed from the beginning of the KU season regarding Puka Williams. I don't think he played in the first game, and there's a lot of excitement about him. And there's a lot of mystery about his eligibility. I know towards the end of the season things got weird, but there was a whole lot of stuff that maybe wasn't, it seemed like to me, and I followed every game on the radio, just questions about his eligibility, something he...
It's a good point. I forgot about that.
It is a good point. That's a great point, Eric. So I hadn't thought about that.
Really did it.
Yeah, he was kind of in and out. And he's going to play today. He's not going to play. Yeah.
Beatty would refuse to really discuss that on his weekly shows. It was like a don't ask me. Don't ask me that. My observation. Always was curious about it.
Well,
and a very good observation,
Eric,
too.
Yeah. He's, now,
absolutely.
Puka Williams is still there. So whatever it was, and this is totally independent of his run-in with the law, and his what did he have, a domestic violence thing that he committed?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
I think he had a dust up with his girlfriend, or a female anyway, and I think he pled no contest or entered a diversion plea, something like that. But he got in trouble with the law. But this is before that, and now that Eric brings it up, it was like, I can remember Brian Haney saying, keep your eye on this Puka Williams kid who's a true freshman, that when he plays, he's, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, really exciting, really electrifying, really whatever. And he was right. Puka Williams Jr. was clearly their best running back, and he was their only real weapon. And as the season continued, you and I were like, hey, get the guy 20 touches, see what he can do.
Sure.
But early on, Eric's right. Early on, there was the shroud of, what's the deal with Puka Williams, and how come we don't know 100% that he's going to play?
And did we ever get a clear, real reasoning for that?
Oh, God, no.
Now, we do know that he was granted diversion in Douglas County District Attorney's Office for, as you're correct, Shane, a domestic battery charge. That was January 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So by accepting diversion, that's the end of his court appearances, and this domestic battery charge would be kept off of his record.
Yeah, diversion. You behave, you're kind of in the clear
Exactly. Got to behave.
Yeah.
Got to take
Can't
care
get
of your
in trouble
business.
With the law anymore. So,
so that's the latest on that portion of the equation. But Eric is right. There was always a lot of, okay, well, what's happening here? Is he playing? Is he not playing? And then the next level of questions would be, why is there such uncertainty with it? And who knows? Maybe that plays a role in all of this.
Never got any clarity from that either.
No, we didn't. So, pretty interesting stuff. But unfortunate, because it's got a bad look on both sides of the aisle, at least at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? There's clarity at the end of this, and all is well, and we move forward, and it's neither here nor there. The NFL, what'd you take from yesterday? Signings started happening, guys putting their names on the dotted lines.
49ers.
The amount of money the Jets are spending.
49ers were busy.
Mosley and Le'Veon Bell.
49ers picked up Tevin Coleman. Yeah. They got Quan Alexander, and they got D. Ford. That's pretty big.
Pretty good haul.
Pretty good
it?
Couple of days. Yeah. Now they'll have a three-headed monster at running back, assuming Jerick McKinnon can come back healthy because Matt Breida is still there. So they got three running backs, three pretty good ones. It could probably be a number one. I wasn't real wild about the Tyrell Williams to Oakland Raiders thing at first blush. I don't know. Maybe he can flourish in Oakland. Thought he was just a guy in San Diego, you know, with the Chargers. But they think enough of him, Oakland does, to give him 4 years. Now, Oakland, I'll believe Oakland makes good moves when I see them, when they actually pan out. But 4 years, $44 million for Tyrell Williams, who was, the number three with the Chargers. She had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Tyrell Williams. But anyway, who would you rather have? Earl Thomas, who signed with the Ravens, or the Honey Badger, who the Chiefs got? I don't think it's close. I'd rather have Tyrann Mathieu.
I would rather have Tyrann Mathieu. Younger, cheaper.
How old is Earl?
You know, he's just got to stay healthy. That's my deal with him. He's just got to stay healthy, stay on the field. But yeah, I think I'd rather go with him. You're paying a huge premium for past performances with Earl Thomas.
Uh-huh. He'll be 30
in
May.
There's no guarantee. Yeah, exactly.
So he's not quite as old as I thought he was.
And he's a hell of a player, but my gosh, I don't know.
Well, I think the Ravens are used to having really, really, really good safeties between Ed Reed and Eric Weddle, and now him. And
boy, no kidding, isn't that the
truth? And it's no coincidence. If you got a kick-ass safety, that's a good start to a good defense, and the Ravens always have
sure
a good defense. So they also signed Mark Ingram. All right, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. He was going to play somewhere this year, not in New Orleans, but he was going to play somewhere.
I can't wait to see what that does to Alvin Kamara. I mean, is he going to touch it 40 times a game now?
Where is he in your fantasy draft?
Oh, my God.
Is he a first rounder?
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Especially now that Ingram's out of the way. And it really didn't bother anybody in any league across the country that Ingram was there. Kamara was a first rounder this year.
Yeah.
Now, they'll probably bring somebody else in. It's not like, you know, nobody anymore has just a bell cow and no number two running back ever never gets on the field. They're going to bring in somebody. Mm-hmm. They're going to sign somebody. But and it makes you wonder if, you know, what kind of workload Le'Veon Bell is going to have with the Jets. You know, he had that year off of his feet. And they signed him for 4 years and $52.5 million. So, what leads you to believe that he wouldn't get 25 touches a game for that kind of money and 1 year of tread that he still has left on his tires? You wonder.
You never know in the NFL, Shane, what guys are going to be like when they get paid.
Yeah.
You'd like to think that you know. You'd like to think it's damn the, you know, it's let's go. Let's full speed ahead. This is it. Boy, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to get after it. You just never know.
Mm-hmm.
When guys get paid and they make their contract and they're 4 years in because the first option comes, the fifth year option is figured out in the fourth year. So they start figuring out their money. You never know. Now, there is all sorts of history of guys not producing after they're paid.
Or
now, I'm not saying that's going to be the case with a Le'Veon Bell. I mean, you know, some guys are just ball players, and that's the way that it is. But it's it's an issue.
Or
it's
how
a
about
concern.
This?
And, yeah.
Now that, for example, I don't want to pick on Juju, but now that Juju Smith-Schuster is the man, sometimes, at least internally, these guys say, man, What if I was a number one? Wait till I'm a number one. Wait till you see what I can do now. Well, AB's out of his way. Now he's a number one.
Well, and the world's different. And this is another thing. This is the small differences in the world of the NFL of being a number one receiver as opposed to a number three receiver. Mm-hmm. The amount of attention that a number one receiver gets is totally different than the amount of attention that a number three receiver gets. That is just the way it is. They're covered differently. They're accounted for differently. The responsibility is different when you're getting more targets.
It's funny how that works.
Just the way it is.
You get more targets if you got a stud on the other side. Hard to wrap your mind around a little bit, but if AB's out there, you know, that's probably two less guys that are on you on the other side, and that's Juju. Now, I'm not saying
– And I love me some Juju.
Don't get me wrong. I do, too.
And I really do. But his is a different world now because the focus –
Antonio Brown's going to be – his world's going to be different now that he doesn't have Juju as his Robin.
No question.
I mean, you can try to force feed him 100 balls, 150 balls, which is, I'm sure, what he – will demand once he gets to know Derek Carr, but it's not automatic if you don't have somebody halfway decent, at least on the other side, taking some attention away from you. And I'm not sure who that is with the Raiders right now, even with Tyrell Williams. Maybe it's him. I don't know. That's kind of a big dice roll if you think he's your number two, but 869-1240 if you want to talk. John. Hi, John. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing well.
Good, John.
I have followed KU football all my life, and I'd like to give you guys some input on that.
Okay, good.
Fire away.
2008, KU won the Orange Bowl. That was the only major bowl game that KU has won in their history. And obviously, Mark Mangino was a coach. He coached one more year after that, and the chancellor decided to fire him. That was the beginning of the problem, in my opinion.
I think 99% of the people would agree with that assessment.
He had the program at a level it had never been on in history, and he should have been retained as coach. That's my comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John.
Fair enough, and you have plenty of people lining up to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty. And, in fact, you have you have a bunch of guys in the NFL that would agree with you. If you talk to Aqib Talib or Chris Harris Jr., they're right there with you. And I have on numerous occasions about the situation at Kansas. They're huge Mark Mangino guys.
Yep.
And that's right. And that's Lou Perkins. I don't know. What is Lou Perkins really remembered for the most at the University of Kansas? It might be the handling of Mark Mangino.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
I would think.
How you can be
Bob
so unpopular in two different places, and maybe three if you count UConn. That's hard to do, but Lou Perkins did it.
It is hard to do. Bob Frederick, of course, hired Bill Self. But you're absolutely right. I don't think Lou Perkins is looked on very favorably or fondly at Wichita State.
Right.
For his time there.
Nope. Well, he nixed football. Got blamed for that.
Nixed football. The work that he did at UConn.
I'm not super duper familiar with what he did there, but
I'm not either, you know. But and I believe that was did make the move to upgrade in their football program under him, and they built, I think he was at the early stages of getting that facility built. So, and that takes thing, obviously. But I think when you think about Lou and his time at the University of Kansas, I think it's tied directly to the Mark Mangino situation. And more than anything, his firing. And especially with the years that have ensued. I mean, my God. It's been a tough one to overcome. OTD coming up next, March 14th, on this day in history, brought to you by Superior Rents. 21st and Ridge, your rental headquarters. Make it Superior at Superior Rents, and we are back here with On This Day in History in just a moment.